What's up, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of It's Brewin' at McEwen. I'm your host tonight, Adam Cartwright, and with me, as always, is my co-host Matthew Giardino. Matt, man, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. Got to go to the Red a couple times this weekend. Obviously, we didn't have the best series, but we'll talk all about it. And we got another game coming up here in only a few days, so we got to get back on track.
Absolutely, we do got to get back on track. Give you a quick rundown of what we're going to do today, tonight, Bulls fans. We're going to break down the series as we always do, looking at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're then going to take a look at the American Athletic Conference, the standings, and some kind of big stories that happened over the weekend. There were some big performances that me and Matt will talk about, so a little teaser for that later. We'll also take a look at the mid-major top 25 presented by 11.7. Again, check out that podcast if you're not there. They do a great job covering not only college baseball, but mid-major baseball in particular, I think. And that's what I think we always like to kind of look at their rankings, as I think they're kind of the only ones that I know that do it. We won't talk about a midweek game this week, as there is not one. And then we'll give our final thoughts. So without further ado, Matt, are you ready to get this thing going?
Let's go.
All right. We will start off by looking at Friday. Friday was a 3-2 victory. Landon Yorick gets his second win of the season as the Bulls kind of had to pull it off in the ninth inning. Cort Braun with a strong start in this one. Ryan Pruitt is going to get the walk-off single. Matt, what was your thoughts of Friday night?
It's one of those things where, when Corey is on the mound, you're in a good spot. And for the fourth straight weekend, he delivered us a really solid performance, put us in a position to win. I think that's the most important thing, especially on Friday, getting the series kicked off on the right way. He went in a career-long seven innings, only gave up one earned run, one walks, eight strikeouts on the night. He looked really, really sharp. And I think also for the third straight start, he went over 100 pitches as well. So just, he that just fits the bulldog mentality that he has that we've seen from him all season long. Really excited to see, what he's been doing. And I think also, we saw some good performances from Landon Yorick. I thought Nolan Bernard looked sharp. He did give up one earned run. But he also had two strikeouts in his outing over one inning. So that's going to happen. You're going to give up a run every now and then, but overall, really solid pitching performance. You only give up two earned runs, you're going to win a lot of baseball games.
Absolutely. Hey, looking at the team totals, 11 strikeouts, two walks. We'll take that, all day and twice on Sunday if we can get it right. But no, it's like you said, what does Friday night mean for Bulls fans? Well, it means we win because we got Cort Braun on the mound. He just really came out there, like you said, gave a bulldog performance. It kind of sound like a broken record at this point, but he just keeps going out there time again, giving us strong performances. And look, those innings keeps counting, keeps climbing up. I think it's probably the second or third time, that he's, I think every time he's gone out, I think he's gone longer. I may be wrong about that, but I think that might be how this is progressing. Just gonna be fun to see if he becomes a guy that, goes out there and takes the whole game by himself. That would be something fun to watch. I don't know. I can't remember the last time we actually saw a complete game off the top of my head.
It's been a long time. I think potentially Jack Jasiak did it, but I do know it's been a long time since that's taken place.
Yeah, I think so. Offensively, kind of the Ryan Pruitt show. He had a 3-for-5 night, two RBIs. Jackson Mayo also had a multi-hit game and scored a run. Carter Murphy and Stewart Puckett also collected hits in this one. What were your thoughts offensively?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of the night, aside from obviously Ryan Pruitt being very consistent and bringing production to the lineup, is Stewart Puckett. He came up with a really key RBI base hit. I believe it tied the game 2-2. And he's just been coming along ever since he started to get more playing time. Really big contributor to the lineup. And I think one thing that was interesting on Friday is, we got a lot of hits and we didn't walk as much as we usually do. But overall, it was a great performance. We got just enough run support in order to get the victory.
Yeah, you're right. Only three walks on the night for the Bulls, so definitely putting the ball in play. Seven hits total. You mentioned Stuart Puckett. Carlos Hakimi also is kind of a newer addition to this lineup. He was 0 for 2 on this night, but he actually had some decent at bats all throughout the lineup or all throughout the series. So just kind of piggybacking off what you said with Stuart Puckett, just the increase in opportunities. I'd like to see kind of what's going to happen there. Jackson Mayo too. I mentioned he had the multi-hit game. I think he might have stung a few others in his four at bats pretty hard. I think the series he kind of started getting hot. Started seeing the ball. I think he had a lot of hard contact. I think that got going here on this Friday night. But again, I think the story is Ryan Pruitt. He just had the big clutch at bat in the ninth and was just a really tough at bat all night.
Yeah, just going off of what you said too with Jackson Mayo. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit more about him as we talk about the rest of the series. But that's a guy that he's been batting a little bit lower in the order than we usually would see him. So it would be really interesting to see him getting some more opportunities a little bit higher up in that order in a run producing role. Really looking forward to potentially seeing that in the future as well.
Absolutely. Well, we will move on into Saturday. Ends up being a 12-9 loss for the Bulls. Kind of a real up and down game. Bulls, we kind of fell behind early and really battled back, showed a lot of that grit that we had talked about from this team earlier in the season, and just let us slip away there at the end. Matt, what were your thoughts on Saturday?
It was another tough outing when you don't have your starter go out and produce for 4 or 5 innings at a minimum. Unfortunately, we did only get one third of an inning out of Jack Nedrow. But I think where you do see some things that might not be great, we did see some greatness in Jorge Descardenas coming into the game, and he gave up only 2 earned runs over 7 innings pitched. And I believe as he exited the game, he had only given up 1 earned run. So one of those earned runs actually ended up being an inherited runner that scored. But I think that was really the highlight of the game for me. He had started out the season in the rotation, didn't have the most success. You could tell that he had some really good stuff. A lot of movement on his pitches, but they did get hit pretty hard. So he couldn't go too far into the game, but for him to go out there and pitch 7 innings, that was super impressive. And he did it a lot by utilizing his infield, utilizing his defense out there. He didn't strike out a whole lot of guys. Actually, no, I'm wrong on that. He actually did strike out a lot of guys. He struck out 9 guys. But he had some great control. Only 3 walks and only gave up 2 hits. So really solid outing for him.
In the end, he put together a real quality start. He just wasn't the guy that started, fortunately or unfortunately. But it was really good to see. Like you said, he started off in the rotation and kind of had to make way for some other guys to get some opportunities. You wonder now if this performance kind of gives him an opportunity again in that starting rotation. And like you said, it was very strong. 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, only 2 earned runs over 7 innings. It really, I talk about the grit that we showed on the offensive side, where we're not in any sort of position to make any sort of comeback if DeCardenas doesn't come in and do what he did, to kind of take that game back into control. Actually, kind of flip the whole series script for us, because you pull your starting pitcher on Saturday after 0.1 innings, you're like, oh man, I might deplete my bullpen here. What I gotta start making plans about what we're gonna do about Sunday. We got, two full games here. We gotta start planning. But then DeCardenas comes in and it basically gives you a start, a quality start, a long start, a 7 innings. And that really kind of puts you back on a game script. And so I thought that was really, really, really important. 15 hits offensively. So it was an explosion. Again, Ryan Pruitt with a 3 for 5 day. He ends up scoring 2 runs. Sebastian Greco gets on track with 2 hits and 3 RBIs. I believe this was Jackson Mayo's big hit. Yeah, him, Greco, and Puckett all go yard. This is where Puckett and Mayo went back to back. Kind of fun to watch offensively if we weren't behind the whole time. But what were your thoughts on the offense?
Yeah, no, exactly what you're saying. You know, if we weren't behind the whole time, it would have been a little bit more exhilarating. But it did get pretty exhilarating into that eighth inning when we took a two-run lead. But ultimately, it was a great performance from the whole team in terms of the lineup. We saw that great performance by Ryan Pruitt. He followed up that great Friday night with a great Saturday. You know, he's been consistent all season long, but I think we're actually seeing him take it to a whole nother level as well. Sebastian Greco, he had another home run. I think that was his sixth or seventh on the season. That puts him in pretty high up contention in terms of overall home run leaders in the country. I believe the leader right now is at 9 or 10, so if he has a good game, multi-home run game, he's going to be right up there with the nation leaders as well. A couple other good performances that I saw on the day was Marcus Brodell. You know, just an overly consistent guy, had two more base hits, scored three runs, and then also drew another walk. And then Carter Murphy, you know, more towards the bottom of the lineup, had a great game with two hits and also drew a walk. Definitely hitting was not the issue at all. You know, overall, you know, you're gonna have those days where you keep fighting, but you know, it's just not gonna be enough when you give up six runs in the first inning.
Yeah, it was really heartbreaking, I think, from an offensive standpoint, because you fought really hard, and it just didn't work out for you in the end. I do want to point out Carlos Jacome with the 3-for-5 day, and you know I mentioned he was having some good at bats this series. I think he really broke out in the Saturday game. Just unfortunate that it got overshadowed by the overall performance.
One thing I found interesting too on the Saturday game is we did see Mayo move up one spot in the order. He started at six on Friday, then he moved up to fifth in the lineup. So kind of what I was going back to earlier, we're going to continue to see him get into, you know, further up into the lineup as he gets more confident and you know, gets a little hotter with the bat as he has.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I'm hoping we're going to see him get on a pretty long little streak here. Well, we will move on to Sunday. You know, again, up and down game, battled back and forth, ended up, you know, falling short in the end. It was an 8-5 loss. Bryce Archie got the start in this one, his first weekend start, as he did not get the midweek start. You know, what were your thoughts overall here, Matt? We'll start with the pitching.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Bryce Archie. I think his line doesn't look as good as he actually was out there. I do believe he also had given up or had some inherited runners that were given up as well. But overall, he goes five innings pitch, gives up three earned runs, really limited the walks, which was always great to see. For a long period during his start, he did have a very you know, controlled pitch count as well. It did start getting elevated as he got towards the end of his outing. But ultimately, he was, you know, I think through the first four innings, he was averaging only 14, 13 pitches per inning, which if he can continue that, you know, we're going to see some outings where he's going six or seven innings, limiting the walks. Like I said, he only gave up one walk. He did get hit a little bit harder than you would like. He did give up six total hits. But ultimately, you know, I think the thing that really we need to figure out at the end of the day is the bullpen situation. We did see a really nice outing, bounce back outing from our guy James Hill. I think that was the second highlight besides Bryce Archie and his start. But we did see James Hill really settle things down, give our team an opportunity to come back in the game. He went three innings pitched, only one hit, no earned runs, one walk, and three strikeouts. So really happy to see that for him. You know, he's continuing to fight and give himself the best opportunity possible to impact the team in a positive way.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, you look at Archie, like you said, the first four innings were pretty great. Things kind of slipped a little in the fifth, and then some inherited, you know, incidents kind of shook his line there a little. But he's still coming back. You know, he's not a full-time baseball player right now. He's still kind of balancing football and baseball. So he's still making his way back, and so you know. four plus innings really isn't the worst thing for him at the end of the day. James Hill did have a really good outing in relief, and so you wonder, can they kind of combine to be a starting pitcher on Sunday for us? You also kind of question, like, is Archie going to be, is he going to continue to be a weekend starter, or was this just a special situation because of our midweek situation with him not being able to pitch for a month if we kind of left him in that midweek role? So you just wonder how things are going to work out. You kind of hope that things will just progress with him and Hill. What did you think about this offensive?
Offensively, we got some great production from the top two guys, Ryan Pruitt. What a weekend. I think he had a total of 8 hits on the weekend. Really just an unbelievable productive weekend for him. Nice to see Brad Keylor get a base hit and an RBI. I think one thing that really affected our overall offensive production on Sunday was the fact that Sebastian Greco was walked 4 times. Really took the bat out of his hands. Especially, there was a situation where we had a lot of guys on base and there was opportunities to drive in runs and we didn't get that production like we would have liked to. But overall, we did get to see another base hit from Stuart Puckett, and then also Matthew Buffington. I think he's looked really good out there, getting a little bit more opportunities. I think, especially with Lance Triple not really living up to his full potential right now in terms of hitting. I think Matt Buffington's getting some opportunity there and making the most of it. He got on base twice with that one base hit as well, and then Yacome also got another base hit. So there wasn't, it wasn't all bad. There was some good production, especially from guys that, have struggled a little bit or not gotten much playing time. It was really good to see them get some base hits as well.
It's hard to look at this weekend and kind of fault the offense. You kind of look at all three games and you realize that they did enough. Look, I know Friday night they only scored 2 runs, but hey, you're going to have to win some pitcher duels on Friday night. You're getting the team's best guy. And so that's just going to happen. But you look at Saturday, Sunday, those are the guys you got to get to. We got to them. Maybe not as much on Sunday as Saturday, but again, you just have to feel like the offense was kind of clicking overall. And like you said, Pruitt, again, he had 3 straight multi-hit games, just absolutely on fire on top of the order. The walking of Greco, that's one of those things where baseball is a competition. It's an individual battle, right, between a pitcher and a batter, but it's a team sport, and that's one of those aspects that it is a team sport. If Greco doesn't have somebody that's backing him up, or that is protecting him, as it said, you pitch around him and you don't let him hurt you. That's kind of one of those coaching 101-isms, right? Don't let the best hitter hurt you, and that's what they did on Sunday. They didn't let Sebastian Greco have too much to hit. He wasn't really able to get into anything. But again, 9 hits, 5 runs. I mean, that's some production. It's not nothing. You mentioned Matthew Buffington. What I really like about him is just there's a just a get after it, right, about him, for lack of a better term. He just really attacks the game in all fronts, and that's really fun to watch I think it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch him. I think he had that hustle double, right, where he burns it out. No one really expects him to do it. But when you break out sprinting out the box because you want, everything you can get, you take what you can get. And that's what I like watching him. What'd you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think defensively, he looked great as well. I think it was by the second or third inning, he had already thrown out 2 potential base stealers as well. So he's more than capable behind the plate in terms of throwing out, potential base stealers. So I think it's a really great thing to have 2 very formidable catchers back there, especially on the defensive front. Just continuing the trend of, I think at the end of the weekend, I think we were at only giving up 8 out of like 15 total base stealers on the season. We're top of our game when it comes to throwing out runners. You're on mute.
I am on mute, everybody. Sometimes that happens. as I was saying, we got a couple stolen bases ourselves, so but you have to look at the advantage us, when it comes to the base pass with the guys we have behind the plate, especially with what you saw out of Buffington, because you're going to need two catchers. It's one of those positions where it's very hard to start every game. Now, not saying it doesn't happen. There are some fantastic catchers out there. I think we've had some catchers that have started every game. It happens. I got it. You might need to. It's a tough spot. And so it's good to have that. Well, Matt, do you have any final thoughts on the weekend as a whole? What were
Yeah.
your thoughts leaving the weekend? That's
Yeah. Well, it's funny. First of all, I briefly remembered that, I thought Matt Buffington had a stolen base of his own. And looking at the box score right now, he did in fact have his own stolen base. So he does add that speed element. We already know that Lance Triple is a pretty athletic catcher, but Matthew Buffington is as well and stole a base. So really good to see that overall. He's really shown to be a pretty complete player. But in terms of the entire weekend, you can't deny it. It was very disheartening, especially when you see the guys fighting as much as they did. Especially coming back from an early deficit to take a lead on Saturday. It was definitely a weekend where I felt like we should have very easily have gotten the series win and we let it slip away from us. But, at the end of the day, the results are the results and you have to move forward. And I think there was a lot of bright spots throughout the weekend, whether it was, really solid pitching performances. We saw some guys getting hot in Ryan Pruitt. We saw some really good pitching in Bryce Archie, and we also got DeCardenas with a good outing. James Hill with a great outing. So there was a lot of positives. I do think that, there's a few more things that we need to iron out, but we do have, some more non-conference games before we get into the thick of the conference schedule.
Yeah, like you said, disheartening, disappointing, I think is a word that kind of came to my mind. Because like you said, we did feel like we needed to come out with a series win here. And you also felt at multiple times throughout Saturday and Sunday that we were going to get that. I always feel like we're going to win on Friday. I don't know, it is what it is. Ron's one of those guys we're going to go to battle with every time. I have a lot of confidence in us on Friday night. It's Saturday and Sunday that I always feel like we got to try to figure it out. And I felt like it's a little different than coming out of the UCF series where you look at that, it's just like, I don't know what to take from that. I don't think we have any answers. I'm not sure what's going on. I think like you mentioned, you called them positives. I do think we had a lot of answers to some of the questions, that as we go forward, DeCardenas has that great outing. You think, okay, well, maybe he deserves another shot here and there. I think the biggest question is, what do we do, seventh, eighth, ninth inning on Saturday and Sunday to try to hold off a lead? I think that's kind of been a bit of a bugaboo for us so far this season. But like I said, hopefully we do get some momentum going forward. We do have a pretty hot offense. I think we saw that this weekend. I know you had one more thing.
Yeah, I think the one thing that really was, I think, a little bit disheartening too was the fact that we did force them to use their Sunday starter in that Saturday game as well. So going into Sunday, we really had an advantage there to really take the series. Obviously, we didn't capitalize on that. They kind of had to go with a bullpen by committee, and ultimately didn't work out in our favor. They really mixed up their pitchers really well and only gave up three earned runs. But I think going into that Sunday game, we really felt like we had an advantage going into it.
I didn't realize that going into the Sunday, but like you said, just disappointing. But it's a good time to maybe take a deep breath and just reset and just kind of maybe realize kind of where we are isn't all that bad. 500, we've got another series coming into conference play. If we can get if we can win this next one, which is going to be tough. Maryland's going to be a tough series for us, especially with what we've shown. But I think if we can get some things adjusted, we might come out with a series win. I think that kind of resets things as we move into the conference. When we start talking about these other stuff, the AAC and the mid-major stuff, we're going to talk about the fact that we've got some really good opponents in the conference. And if we can get right and get right in conference play, then we can kind of get back into a position to accomplish the goals we want,
Definitely.
All right. Well, with that, we will look at the American Athletic Conference. First, we will look at the overall standings. Again, these are our relatively unofficial as conference play hasn't started. So it's all out of conference play, but UTSA is 15-3, UAB 13-3, Florida Atlantic 12-3, Tulane is 11-4, Memphis 9-6, Charlotte is 7-6, Bulls sit 7-7, East Carolina 7-8, Wichita State 6-9, and Rice. We'll talk about them in a little bit. They sit at 2-14. Before we look at this weekend that just came and everything that came with it, what stands out to you about the standing so far?
I think the number one thing that stands out to me is UTSA at 15-3. That's a heck of a non-conference record to date. They've struggled in the past few years. They've always been a pretty good baseball program, and I was really excited about them coming into our conference for that fact. And I think they struggled a little bit in their first season in the AAC, but seems like they've gotten themselves on the right track. I think they're gonna have a really solid season. And another team in UAB who's former CUSA team that is 13-3 this season. They're looking really sharp. Florida Atlantic, they dropped the Friday night game against Florida International, but they did come back and they won the last two games of the series. So they're sitting at 12-3 overall. I think the biggest surprise to me, though, is teams like Eastern Carolina, Wichita State, they're both under 500. Obviously, I think we could be doing a little bit better at 7-7. We've played a pretty challenging schedule to this point, but overall, I think it's really interesting. A lot of the teams that are more established in this conference are struggling a little bit in non-conference play, where some of the newer comers are doing pretty well.
Yeah, it is kind of one of those things where maybe the quote unquote blue bloods of the conference, right, are sitting at the bottom, and some of these newcomers or new blood is sitting up at the top. I'm gonna tell you, I've had a chance to catch a couple of innings. This UTSA team, they're pretty good. Yeah, they put together some really good at bats. I did also caught a few innings of that Florida Atlantic FAU game. Again, those are two really good teams. The CUSA is a really good conference. We'll talk about a few CUSA teams when we look at the mid majors, top 25. So that was a really big series win for them. Really good for the conference overall to get that win in terms of, we need to be ranked ahead of them. I don't think we can, as a conference, really set our goals to say, all right, we're going to be ranked ahead of the SEC, the ACC, the Pac. We're not, but we do need to be above these other mid majors when it terms to trying to get more than just one or two teams into the comp into the championship tournament. But yeah, interesting. East Carolina, Wichita State, I think those are sleepers right now. I think this conference is very deep. I think when we get into conference play, it's going to be crazy. I really do. I think it's going to be crazy trying to separate some of these teams. I think we're going to have a lot of teams that are very even, very tied. I don't, you may see one team really run away, one of these, FAUs, UTSAs. You may see them run away, but I really think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be about getting two out of three, as many times as possible. Any final thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree with you there. And I think it's also a possibility too, where some of these teams that we see currently at the bottom of the table, they could turn it around and get hot. And we've seen teams like East Carolina struggle in non-conference play and then come around and end up winning 40 plus games and winning the conference. So I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's too substantial to look at, and there are some indicators of some success here. But I think ultimately, when it comes down to conference play, it's a completely different animal, completely different grind. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. I think there's going to be a lot of great competition this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's look at this weekend and what we did in conference, how our conference mates did. Well, there we go. Kind of wouldn't load on me. Oh, then it just went away. I'll start off by we already talked about FAU and FIU, kind of what they did. FAU pulling off that best of three series. Their UAB ended up playing in a tournament. They did pretty well. Now they dropped the first one to Michigan State. 5-2, but they came back and won the next three. They ended up having a double header there on Friday. They ended up beating, sorry, technology guys. They ended up beating Winthrop there on the second game on Friday. Absolute barn burner, 12-13 win over Cornell on Saturday, and then they come back on Sunday and beat Michigan State 12-7. So that was really a good showing for them. Wichita State swept Missouri State. Missouri State is, for fans that don't know, they're a pretty, decently rated kind of mid-major program. Definitely one that is kind of a statement sweep, if anything, especially for the conference. And then East Carolina and Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina being a ranked opponent, that had some really good games. What stood out to you in terms of who's maybe a team of the week for the conference? Who had the best performance, you think?
That's a tough question. I think there was a lot of good performances over the weekend. I think, like you said, UAB taking 3 out of 4 in their tournament. That's a really good weekend overall. Wichita State, Missouri State, they're a really great opponent as well. And they actually play in, I believe, a triple-A ballpark. It's absolutely beautiful, if I'm not wrong. Overall, I think Charlotte had a good weekend too. They got a really nice win on Sunday against James Madison. James Madison's always a pretty solid program. I believe they've been in the NCAA tournament. It may have been last year or very recently. So that was a definitely a solid win. But overall, I think, like we've been saying, there's some solid teams in our conference, and I think it was also impressive of FAU coming back and winning those final two games of the series against FIU, especially being it a rivalry series for them. We know that FIU, they've been very good at pitching this year. So I think that that's a really strong outing for them.
Yeah, for me, for I guess team of the week, it really comes down to either Florida Atlantic or Wichita State. Like I said, I think FIU is a really quality opponent. They drop the Friday night, they come back, they get the Saturday, Sunday. It was an away game, an away series for Florida Atlantic, and in a rivalry at that. Those two are likened to the USF UCF rivalry. So I think that's a really statement win. But again, the sweep of Missouri State, I think, by Wichita State, I don't think anybody expected that. I think there were a lot of national pundits picking against Wichita State, and rightfully so. They did not look good. 6-9, they're at the bottom of our ranking or standings that we just looked at. I think we had talked about it last week. I think that's due to some scheduling. I think they kind of scheduled themselves into a hole by going out to Honolulu. That's a tough place to kind of go and win. You drop four straight there. That's going to happen. I do want to give a shout out to East Carolina, though. Dropped a series to Coastal Carolina, but Coastal Carolina was probably the best opponent on the conference schedule. Just looking at it real quick, I think they were ranked 24th. I don't think anybody was higher than that. So they were the toughest opponent faced. Came out and put it on Friday night. Dropped the game Saturday. Okay, they came back on you. But the Sunday game was a 4-3, 10-inning battle, right? So they really went at it with them. I actually watched the last couple innings. It was tough. It was a really good series. It's a series that you hate that, from a conference standpoint, that we dropped. But again, I think it was a really good performance by them. One other thing I want to point out before we kind of look at some individual performances throughout the conference. Rice is disappointing, man. They were swept at home this weekend by, wait for it, Yale. Yale comes into Rice and gives them the sweep. They're sitting at the bottom. You know, we talked about the conference being competitive. I don't know that they're looking very competitive right now. That's got to be disappointing if you're a Rice fan. What do you think?
Especially with the history of that program, they have such a beautiful baseball stadium as well. Their facilities are great. I think it's got to be at some point that Rice comes back and makes an impact in the college baseball world. Obviously, they've been to Omaha before. They have the facilities. It's really kind of mind-boggling how they've really fallen so far, especially to lose to or rather get swept by Yale. Not a good start to the season for them at all.
No, not at all. Well, as I mentioned in the intro, and then just a few seconds ago, there was two, I think, really just outstanding pitching performances among the conference today, or I'm sorry, on Friday. They were both, I believe, during the day, which is kind of interesting. But first one, Charlotte pitcher, grab his name real quick. He's going to throw a no-hitter, I believe, Matt, if you remember. No.
Definitely saw a no-hitter somewhere.
Yeah, maybe it was Saturday. There was a I know there was a no-hitter. There was also a 19 strikeout performance by Norby, Ethan Norby from East Carolina. So the question I want to ask you, Matt, is what is more impressive to you, no-hitter or 19 strikeouts?
Man, I'm gonna go with the no-hitter, just because, that basically means you were perfect. Obviously, that wasn't a perfect game, but a lot of things have to go right in order for you to get a no-hitter. And it'd be interesting to look at the stats and see what's more rare. So someone score striking out 19 or more batters or throwing a no-hitter. Both of them are, I would say, on par with each other in terms of really incredible individual performances. I'm kind of intimidated to face either one of them. Hopefully we do get to them. They got their good performances out of the way. But kudos to them and kudos to their team to have their backs as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, just in terms of rareness, right? You mentioned rareness. So this is the second no-hitter of the season. Okay, so this is not the first no-hitter of the season. I do believe 19 strikeouts is an American Athletic Conference record. So when you mention rareness, right, you know, you put it in that one, it's a toss-up for me because, right, you think about the no-hitter, you know, that's kind of that helps your team as well. You know, that's a big Blake Gillespie is that young man's name. Sorry guys, I just found that. 9 innings, 11 strikeouts, one walk, 113 pitches. So really not a terrible pitch count when you think of a 9-inning game, right? So really an efficient work, but goodness, 19 strikeouts, man. And I think it was what, like 17 through six. So if you do your math correctly, that is one batter that made contact.
That's
Right.
insane.
Right. That's,
Now,
I mean, 17 out of 18 back to the dugout.
that's
Crazy.
insane. Did Charlotte end up making any errors, or was that walk the only base runner allowed for the game?
There was an error. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was a James Madison
Oh
error. So,
wow.
yeah.
So they were only one walk away from getting a perfect game. Wow. Incredible.
Absolutely. Happened on the same day. Crazy, right? Crazy. Well,
Making national news.
hey, look, you know, that's how you get yourself on the map, you know? Those kind of statement performances, you know, that's gonna get you out there. Well, with our final kind of segment before we give our final thoughts, we're going to take a look at the 11.7 mid-major top 25. UC Irvine will sit on top, followed by Troy, Southern Miss, Dallas Baptist, UC Santa Barbara, Coastal Carolina, Western Kentucky, FAU, UNC Williamsburg, I believe. Might be wrong. Wilmington, right? UNC Wilmington. College of Charleston, Grand Canyon. This list is a lot longer than I thought it'd be when I started reading. So I will point out Stetson and Georgia Southern are also kind of some interesting additions. UAB, East Carolina make this list as well. Tulane, Hawaii actually dropped their last series, so they dropped down to 13, which really put a damper on the aspects of the Honolulu Regional. So if you were someone who was hoping for that, that kind of took a hit this weekend. What are your thoughts overall?
Yeah, like you were mentioning, it would have been nice to see a regional in Honolulu. So I think it's on life support right now. But overall, I do see a few conference opponents here. FAU moved up pretty high to number 8. Unfortunately, the Bulls did drop out last week. We were number 16. I think Adam, you didn't want to mention that, but it was an unfortunate for us to drop out of this, but there's some really good opponents on here and some good teams. We got a few American Conference teams on here as well, Tulane and UAB. Georgia Southern team that we played earlier this year. They're continuing to stay on this list at 10-6. But overall, I think it just kind of continues to show the strength of our conference. Even ECU's staying on this list as well. We have a good opportunity to play some very challenging opponents and really see what our team is capable of this season.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of American Athletic Conference opponents are on this list. There's also Georgia Southern, right, which is a former opponent of ours that is on this list. So you like to see them kind of do well. Overall, Stetson, I think, is another, like I said, another interesting addition to the rankings. San Jose State, I actually got to watch them in a random game, I think, and they looked really, really good as well. I think FAU is kind of our hottest team right now in terms of conference. They're really climbing, and they continue to climb every week. Really some blue bloods in terms of mid majors at the top with UC Irvine, Troy, Southern Miss, and Dallas Babbage. They're putting a lot of wins to against P4 opponents. I think a few of those are even on some D1 baseball's top 25 rankings in general. So those are actually, if you catch those games on ESPN Plus, I highly encourage you kind of watching that if the Bulls aren't playing. But again, just some really interesting teams in the mid majors. And again, appreciate 11.7 for putting together that list and putting it all together for us there like that. Well, Matt, I think we have kind of reached the end of our road. Do you have any final thoughts on the weekend as we move forward?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to everyone that has come up to myself and our Bruin crew at the stadium and told us about, you guys listen to our podcast and we really appreciate everyone that listens to the podcast. And anytime you see myself or anybody else, part of the Bruin crew at the ballpark, please feel free to come say hi to us. And we love to meet with people that listen to our show. So next time you're out at the Red, come say hi, and we really appreciate all your support.
Absolutely. We'll be on the lookout too for our next episode of It's Brewing at McEwen. And make sure you are liking and subscribing our podcast on whatever platform that you're listening, as we will have a very special guest coming up. Not sure if I'm allowed to fully announce that yet, but again, you might want to be checking out as I believe it's going to be a three-person booth with Matt, John, and Mark, again, with a very special guest. And they'll also be doing a little preview of the Maryland series that we have coming up. So again, be on the lookout. We have some very special programming coming up. If you can, make it out to the Red the next time that we get out there. And until next time, Bulls, I believe I am Adam and he is Matt. And as always,
Go Bulls.